When the army found out what we were doing, the army warned them, threatened them not to participate in the film. The survivors then said, okay, if you can't film us, try and film the perpetrators. You might find out what happened to us. When I approached the perpetrators, they were boastful, eager to show what they'd done, eager to take me to the places where they killed and show how they killed, and then started to suggest stylizations, improvements. And I realized that if we could let them do that, we would be able to expose the whole regime that the killers had built.
I mean, the obvious question is how did you get them to talk to you? But it sounds as though it wasn't a problem at all.
These men have never been removed from power. They're still in power. They've never been forced to admit what they've done is wrong, and therefore they've been able to cling to the lie, namely the victor's history that they've told ever since 1965, justifying their actions and imposing that version of the events on their whole society. And when they met me as an American, knowing that the United States supported, participated in, and ultimately helped to ignore and deny what had happened, they were open immediately.
I want to show one little clip here, and it is of one of the main characters, Anwar Kongo. Just tell us a little bit about him by way of introducing this.
Anwar Kongo was, in fact, the 41st perpetrator whom I filmed. He was more boastful than anyone else, but underpinning it was a shame, a pain, a trauma. And I recognize that the boasting and guilt are two sides of the same coin. I lingered on him, and he's the one who started to propose these ever more elaborate dramatizations, almost as though he was trying to run away from what he knows is wrong about what he did.